I will open your graves and have you rise from them. A piece in Ezekiel, I think it's chapter 36, obviously is fulfilled here. And I think there's more, as Paul Harvey used to say, to the story. A number of things are odd about this gospel. Mary, who had washed Jesus' feet with her hair and, you know, applied perfume and all that stuff, it hasn't happened yet in the Gospel of John. It was going to happen in the next chapter. So time is elastic in the Gospel of John in that sense. What's the key thing about dying and rising? I just want to propose a couple of things that I've been struggling with and praying with and trying to figure out. It's about the deaths we're invited to make before we die. Dying and rising is not just about getting to heaven. It's about experiencing the glory of God as Jesus does in the Gospel of John by handing ourselves over as he did at his death in this life. You know, when I was a kid, we talk about dying to selfishness and stuff, dying to self-centeredness. And I think that's still the case, but I don't know that it says as much as it can. So let me propose a couple things. First of all, what does it mean that Jesus delayed that the glory of God might be revealed? The glory of God is revealed in the Gospel of John, not when Lazarus was raised, but when Jesus died on the cross. Because that revealed the glory and the mystery of God at work in the world as St. Paul would talk about a self-emptying love. I just want to propose that that's the scariest thing, at least to me, maybe to you. If I give, I won't have enough. If I withhold, I will have enough. And whether that's love, friendship, approval, affirmation, or whatever, that's one aspect. What happens in this passage is that because of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, he's put to death. What we didn't hear today is the end of this chapter 11. Many of the Jews, we had heard that many believed in him. And then it left this part off. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and Pharisees got together and then said, "What are we to do? If we let him go on thus, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and destroy both our holy place and our nation," and implicitly their hold on the nation. Rome will destroy our sovereignty if we let this go on. And I think that's the threat in every part of our lives. what I perceive as a threat to my prestige, to my belonging, to my security, to my sense of place in the world, I attack or run from. And I think that's what's being revealed here with the Pharisees and the chief priests. And it goes on to say, one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all. You do not understand that it is expedient for you that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation should not perish." Jesus' act of raising Lazarus from the dead, the collateral damage of that was his death. And it's not just good for bad or anything, or bad for good. It's not that simple, I don't think. It's about the fact that the Pharisees and chief priests saw that their world was threatened. And it is expedient for one man to die. And isn't that our temptation? It is mine, and it's painful to see that if I don't notice how I deal with threats to my security, sovereignty, and will, I make the body of Christ pay the price. And that's the pain of, and the joy of Good Friday, where we read the Gospel of John, which is the story of God's glory revealed in Christ. And the story is this. The good news is this, that in Christ, the one we at least resist, push away, and give lip service to all the while, is the one who receives us at our worst. What we see on the cross is not tragedy, but victory in John's gospel. And as I like to recite this part of the Eucharistic Prayer 3 for ordinary time, we know it belongs to your boundless glory that you came to the aid of mortal beings, and mortality means I'm not in control. I'm not enough. I'm terrified. You came to the aid of mortal beings who act out of that fear and punish others with your divinity, and even fashion for us a remedy out of mortality itself. That the cause of our downfall might become the means of our salvation. So whatever drives us to make others pay the price instead of us dealing with fear, anger, resentment, whatever, the cause of our downfall has become the means of our salvation through Christ our Lord. And that's the best news possible. And I think it's simply learning to tolerate shame, remorse, and other things to be able to see what we do to protect ourselves and discover that even that, as we bring it to the Lord, bring it to the light, becomes the means of our salvation. And that's what we give thanks for at the Eucharistic prayer. That Christ not only loves us, but has fashioned for us a means of salvation out of what we are terrified by and don't want to see. And I find that the best news possible. So let's take a moment to consider how we can remember and pray this day. What is it that you and I can bring to the Lord that seems to be the cause of our downfall? And say, show me how this can become the means of my salvation. For out of that comes the joy and gratitude of a new life.